message is called, Please Don't Go. Please don't go. It's not me saying, please don't go. It's God saying, please don't go. If you would, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6. That's where we'll spend most of our time today. John chapter 6 will be at the end of that chapter. As you're turning to John chapter 6, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Look, I don't want to shame you guys in the middle, but Linda Weinberger was louder than y'all. So let's try it again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. She still beats you. Just kidding, huh? You know, I learned that a long time ago, actually, when I went to a corporate training thing. And a guy was just talking about that. And that's why I do that. And he said, man, this is going to be a thing that I want you guys to remember forever. Needless to say, I have. But it had to do about making profit in retail business. And he said, when I say this, you say that. And if I don't like your answer, we're going to do it louder and louder until I'm satisfied. And I just thought, I love that, because we have to be reminded sometimes. And we talked a couple weeks ago in Bible study on Wednesday night. Sometimes you got to what? Fake it till you make it. And sometimes that is it. This is the day which the Lord has made, and I'm pretty frustrated with it. No, this is the day which the Lord has made. I will rejoice, because we have to remind ourselves our attitude is a choice. Our behavior is a choice. 5 months of this year, where are we at on our choices to have a spiritual awakening or to being open to it happening? Where are we 5 months into the year of opening ourselves up to more in 24? I don't know. You know, most of us here have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And most of us believe. But not all of us have accepted Him and believe. Some believe, but haven't accepted Him. Some have accepted Him, but don't believe. Church, it is important that we understand He calls us to do both. He calls us to accept Him and believe in Him. And believe that He is the Christ. You know, one of His 12 was hanging out with Him, Judas. And after all this time with Him, Judas did what? He betrayed Jesus. And I've said it before, sometimes I think we may betray Jesus by our actions, by our words, by our lack of kindness to one another. In John chapter 6, verse 35 is where we'll start. And there's so much in this John chapter 6. But verse 35 says, And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I've read this scripture many times. I love this scripture. He says, man, I'm the bread of life. And he calls us to two things. And I remember preaching on this before. I said, it's two actions. He said, you've got to come. That's accepting Jesus. Come to Him. But then he says, he who believes in me shall never thirst. So we've got to come and believe. We can look past that and say, okay, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Great, that's really cool. But he says, those are two things that we have to do. You've got to actually come to Him. You've got to call on His name. And then you have to believe that He is the Christ. Verse 36 said, But I said to you that when you have seen me and yet do not believe, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. And I love that He says, man, if you come to me, I've come from my Father, so it's all the same thing. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. You know, that's part of that submission thing that we don't like to do to other people, because we think, oh my gosh, I had to submit to my boss, I had to submit to my teacher, I had to submit to my wife, I had to submit to my husband. whatever it is. And we don't like that word, because sometimes people misuse and abuse their trust or their power over one another. But we have to submit to Him, and we have to say, God, it's not my will. I don't want to do this. Sometimes, if we're being honest, I don't want to do this, God, but you're telling me to do it. Not my will, but your will be done. Oh, man. Adam, you're starting out kind of hard and heavy. I got to come. I've got to believe. Oh, Lord, then you threw in submit? I got a list at the end here we'll look at. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. In verse 40, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Amen? Ain't no grave can hold him down. And because of that, we also have defeated the grave when we accept Jesus Christ. Now, I love this. It says we've got to come, we've got to believe Him. Oh, Lord, we've got to submit also. So it's not just a matter of hitting one or two. Now we've got to hit all three of these things. Now the people are questioning Jesus. He's having this conversation as people are following Him. And the Jews are starting to question Him. Verse 42 says, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that He says, I have come down from heaven? So they're real bothered by this. And they start saying, what are we going to do about this? This is a guy we know. Adonijah is going to quit sitting in that second row. Adonijah comes to us. He said, I've come down from heaven. Isn't this Adonijah? And Jennifer? We know him. Father, how is it that he says this? And so they're getting frustrated. They start having these little quarrels and fights among them. And I thought, man, how is it that he can say this? I have come down from heaven. And Jesus answered, and he tells them, basically, he says, don't murmur between yourselves. Don't get into these arguments about this. I'm sorry, I lost my place here. I got to get one of those large print Bibles in the hallway. Then verse 46 says, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you in verse 47, he who believes in me has everlasting life. We've got it again. Oh my gosh, if we believe in him, we have everlasting life. I am the bread of life. But I love this in verse 49. He says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Oh, mercy. What is this? This guy now says that his bread, or the bread that we eat, is his flesh. How can that be? And they go on and on. And he said in verse 55, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Oh, no. That's news to them. They're saying, what in the world is this that we ask? I don't understand it. Verse 51, when he talks about, I am the living bread, they don't understand that. They don't understand that when you believe in him, he is the bread of life. He can now have life. He can, Kisha said it, he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. He doesn't desire for us to go through trials. That doesn't mean we won't. We will go through trials at times. But he doesn't mean for that to, he doesn't mean that we can't rejoice in the middle of that. We have to choose. Several weeks ago, I read the obituary of the lady that said, that's what I'd love to be like, is I start my process of dying if I know about it. And it said all these things that she wanted to be and do, and it wasn't about herself, but about the will of the Father. And I thought, that's pretty powerful testimony. Matter of fact, hang on, I'm going to go back to one of these words or one of these songs we sang. Sorry, Kisha, let me get all this messed up here. Stand in your love. Let's see. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. And guess what happened? You all started testifying, so to speak, and you got louder. And you got excited about that. And that's the way that we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, by our testimony. Testifying to others about who God is in our life and what that means to us. You know, at work, we had a semi-new guy and had a brand new guy. And my boss asked the guy that had been there a little bit, he said, "What advice do you have to give him?" And his response was, And I thought, when people ask about how is this Jesus Christ impacting your life, if we have that same attitude, we just go, I don't know. That's not a great testimony, church. That's why I love, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We can get excited about that. And we have to sometimes kickstart our own life and our own belief. And our own day that is starting out tough, maybe. I'm getting out of bed, I'm in debt. I'm getting out of bed, I'm alone. I'm getting out of bed, I'm without a job. I'm getting out of bed, I have to go to school. I'm getting out of bed, I have to go to work. I'm getting out of bed, oh, thank God he or she is next to me, I'm getting out of bed. You know, whatever it is, sometimes people, and I'm not talking about us, I'm talking about people out there have different reasons that it is a struggle for them to get out of bed. It is a struggle. So we have to choose to kickstart our day sometimes. I'm so tired. Hey, guess what? Had you not stayed up till 2 or 3 in the morning talking to your friends on the phone and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and all that stuff, you may not be as tired. Oh, yeah, that's true. Had you not stayed up till 1 a.m. watching sports? Adam, had you not stayed up till 2 a.m. watching stupid YouTube videos of motorcycle crashes? Whatever the case, go to bed. I was telling Eric this morning, we're watching Atlas and Aurora this weekend. And I said, Atlas was crawling up in our bed. We were preparing to go to bed. It was 8:30. Yeah, it was 8:30 and we were preparing to go to bed. And I assure you, had we not had two grandchildren, we'd have been asleep at 8:35. As it was, it did take an extra hour, but by 9:30, we're fast asleep. And that doesn't mean we're great heroes because we go to bed early. That just means we're old. But my point is, when we set these patterns up to say, hey, it's all about choices. You chose to stay up. You chose to do this. And he says, I want your choices to be right. I want you to choose me. I want you to believe in me. When you choose me, though, there's some submission you've got to do. And then he calls in another thing. He says, you've got to commit to me. And you've got to obey me. You see, when you join this group, it's not just join the group and do as you please. When you join this group, we do have some rules to follow. Oh, that's not a good way to say it. Okay, there's not all these rules, but there's ways to live that'll be better for you. Okay, and it isn't about rules. It just says there's a better way of living. When you find peace, there's a better way of living. When you can go to bed in peace, not without trial, but in peace about those trials. Matthew chapter 6, verse 60. And it says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless I have been granted to him, unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Now comes a pivotal point. From that time, many of his disciples went back and went and walked with him no more. That's my title, Please Don't Go. But Jesus took a minute. Jesus had his disciples there. And when he was talking to the 12, he said to them, do you also want to go away? I've got this group of disciples, these 12. They've been with me. Others are complaining. The disciples are now starting to complain. And Jesus said, what is up with you? It's hard to understand this stuff. Other people are grumbling and complaining. Jesus, you're talking about your flesh is bread and your blood is water of life. And we don't understand it. And he asked a simple question. Do you also want to go away? Now, that's a tough question to ask, but sometimes it needs to be asked. And Jesus asked it of his intimate group of 12. Do you also? But listen to what Simon Peter said. He answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them in verse 7 and said, did I not choose you, the 12? And one of you is the devil. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was him who would destroy him, being one of the 12. And I thought, people are drifting away. They're walking away. The disciples are having discussions among themselves. And then Jesus simply asked them, you also want to go away? Simon Peter, no way. Where would we go? By the way, this hanging out with you thing, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, I picked you guys. Oh, by the way, I picked you guys and one of you is the devil. And I thought about this. And I thought, Simon Peter answered for the group. And we have to be careful when we answer for a group or represent a group, because we don't always know what the other part of the group is thinking and doing. And you sometimes get sucked into a group that isn't good for you, or you add people that aren't good for the group into you thinking and assuming it's one thing. So be very careful with that. But what I thought was, is Simon Peter asked that and Jesus said that. Wait a minute. When I read the things that Jesus says and I look at the things that Jesus did, wait, what does Adam keep saying? We are ambassadors of Christ. Oh, Lordy, we're his representative. Can I now ask, is his representative, his ambassador? Do you also want to go away? Do you want to go with the others that have left? Do you also want to go away? And I thought, as Christ's ambassador, sometimes we represent him. And we should be asking those questions. But we should also be encouraging one another. We should also ask one another. We should also invite one another and challenge one another. It isn't to use the power of Jesus to beat up people at all. You see, Jesus had compassion. And when he saw the people scattered, it broke his heart. And so when we represent Jesus, we should be representing his love and his grace and his mercy. You know, I texted my wife yesterday throughout the day, and she made some wonderful food for me when I got home. And I said, "Man, I am unworthy of this. Thank you for taking care of an unworthy man." I said, "Man, that's how we should be approaching Jesus. Jesus, thank you for taking care of me when I am unworthy of your grace and mercy. But because of who and what you are, you have shown me grace and mercy." I'm reminded, as I talked about a couple weeks ago from my message several months ago, about the man that was laying there. How many times will a righteous man fall? And how many times are we there to pick him up? And God says, we talked in Wednesday night's Bible study about God's love for us. And where our love may fail, God's love doesn't fail. Now, he may have some corrective action for us and some consequences for us, but he still shows us grace and mercy through his forgiveness, through our ability to repent. We also talked about in the old days, you had to go before the priest and bring him the sacrifices. And church, I'm telling you, if you have something to repent of, man, you simply can go before him. Oh, and by the way, you don't have to come up here. I like to see this, that we just do that in boldness. And we also do that as a public thing to just say, "Hey, I'm calling on the name of Jesus," or I just need prayer, or whatever it is. But guess what? He says, you can do right there in your seat, right where you sit. He says, you can come to me and you can confess to me and you can ask for forgiveness. By the way, as we come to him and ask for forgiveness, we've got to forgive others. Did I say forget others? Forgive others. Sometimes we have to ask those questions. Do you want to go away also? Do you want to go with him? And then the other thing is, please don't go. When I say that, I'm not talking just from prayer of faith, although we love you to be here. I'm talking about, please don't leave Jesus. Someone had invited me to their church a couple times. And I said, "Hey, are you still going to church?" They said, "No." I said, "What happened?" I said, "Are you mad at God?" They said, "No, God's mad at me." And it broke my heart. And I thought, well, God may not like what you're doing or what you did or whatever the case may be. And I didn't get into that. And it's not my business. This was not a close enough relationship for me to try and say, "Oh, is there anything?" No, it was just a friendly invitation to a church and then just a brief discussion. But I also thought, I also have a responsibility to say, God can forgive you. Now, he wants you to repent of whatever happened or why he's mad at you. We're his ambassador. So we also sometimes have to give them the truth of the matter. And that's hard to do sometimes. And you know, we all wear our feelings on our sleeves, so we get offended at everything, it seems like. Oh, they told me they got... Come on, church. We've got to submit to authority. And that's the authority of God. We've got to open ourselves up. If we want this spiritual awakening, we have to open ourselves up to allow God to work in our life. God can change us. God desires our true worship. He desires our pursuit of him. a couple weeks ago, I asked you guys, man, if you're not attending Wednesday night Bible studies, come to that. You are missing some great times. Okay? If there's something different you want to study, talk to Pastor Eric and myself, and we'll say, maybe down the road we can do this. If you're a young teenager, by the way, Ground Zero, a week from tomorrow, is going away to Falls Creek. We've got about 14 individuals between us and the Midwest City Free Methodist Church going with Southern Baptist, First Southern Baptist Church. What a combination, right? Interdenominational, Free Methodist, Southern Baptist. It's okay. Man, we're coming together in a common ground to discover God with our young people. And we're going to pray over them next Sunday during service. So we'll have a special time to do that. But be in prayer over them in the meantime, that God is working on them, that God works on them while they're there, but that God continues to work in their life when they return. He desires us to learn about Him, to pursue Him through study, through worship, through attending, through giving, through praying, through serving, through growing in discipleship and our knowledge. He says, I want you. You've accepted me. You believe in me. And there's usually a point where we walk away a little bit or some distance. You know, when our young ones start walking a little bit further away from us and kind of look in and is it okay? There's a certain point he says, okay, now it's time, as you return back to me, that you grow. And a lot of times we see this big, long loop like I had of 20-some years. I was there, I walked away in a huge circle, and then finally came back to Him. And He says, I don't want you to be gone that long, and I don't want you to be that far away. His desire is for us to stay connected to Him. But we read where people left Jesus because of their frustration, their misunderstanding. And we have to be open to allow Him to work in our lives. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word today. God, we thank You for Your ability to restore us to You. God, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I pray today that through the message, Lord, that you would just call us back to You, call us closer to You. Lord, that You would call us to a deeper relationship with You, that we would open ourselves up to You working in our lives, to the power of the Holy Spirit, and give You the ability to transform us. God, I pray today, if there's people here, that there's people listening, God, that they would just submit to You. God, that all of us would discover You are our all in all. God, it's as simple as calling upon You, and then it's following through by believing. God, if there's anyone here today that has not submitted to You, has not asked You to be Lord of their life, Lord, that they would come up today and accept You as their Lord and Savior. God, if there's anyone that's accepted You but is struggling to believe, Lord, that they would pray for belief in You and in Your Word. God, if there's those that have walked away and have a desire to come back and return to You, that we would pray over them to rededicate their lives. God, if there's prayer needs, whatever it is, that You would come forward and allow us to pray over You. It doesn't have to be specific situations. It can be general and generic. But allow the body of Christ to pray over you today. Lord, I pray that we submit to your authority. It's you being our all in all. In Jesus' name, amen.